Blog Talk Radio. All right, are you there, PJ?
Fabe, yes, I am here.
All right, awesome, and welcome to I Hate This Podcast, Part 2 Electric Boogaloo tonight. But we are here. I am Jay Miller. As always, I am with Just Incredible, the ECW hardcore icon himself. How's your week been, man?
Indeed, sir. It's all good. Everything is you know, we're all good. Just, man, so many amazing things are going on in the business, in professional wrestling, in what we do as far as entertaining. So, Jay, we're just ready to pop this shit off. So, you know, all good things aside, let's rock and roll.
Yes, sir. Now, there's a lot of big things that have happened in the last, 2 weeks. We've been gone last week. We were gone because of Halloween. But since that time, I mean, we haven't really covered the Evolution pay-per-view, which was a standout show for the women wrestlers at WWE.
It really was. And, I'm such a fan of, again, you know, we're in a very different time of, you know, you have to be very careful of how we, you know, as men, women, you know, just indulging in, you know, what is what as far as entertainment. But, you know, WWE has done a wonderful job because the women's wrestling on their end has been bar none. Like, they're pushing the envelope to, you know, the ladies are just as good as the men. Bottom line, I know there's so many amazing ladies that are absolutely killing it right now in WWE. So, dude, it's you know, it's so hardcore as far, not even hardcore in the literal sense, but hardcore in the way they're presenting themselves. It's like they're taking no prisoners. They love what they do. The passion is coming for, like, it's coming forth, like, you know, they're just killing it. So look, I think it's there for the taking right now. I think the WWE has a very strong foothold in the market of women's professional wrestling, and that's not a bad thing. I mean, sometimes even when I just said it, like, I'm trying to be like that politically correct guy, because you got to be very careful of how you word shit these days. But reality is they're backing everything they do with killer storylines, killer moves, killer workers, wrestlers. I mean, the ladies are doing what has to be done. So in my opinion, I think it's our uncharted territory. That's certainly true, but, man, it's certainly very exciting as well. So, I mean, you know, we'll see. But for me, I think it's super cool, and I think it just adds on to what's going on in wrestling today, which is a very cool movement of, you know, next man up, whatever's, you know, it's almost like it's not about who you are, who you used to be, as far as like gimmicks, or, you know, you were a top guy back in, you know, 1998 or whatever. It's more about, look, this is what we bring to the table today. And the ladies as well as the men are bringing it up. So to me, it's awesome. And it's only a matter of time before I think all of us start to realize that, you know.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And it's crazy because WWE went from an amazing show like Evolution to a show in Saudi Arabia, the WWE Crown Jewel, that happened this past Friday. Yeah. A lot of controversy before the show even started, based off of what has been going on in Saudi Arabia. You had a few top guys like Daniel Bryan and John Cena who refused to go over. Obviously, they have that. They're in that position to where they have enough credibility to where they can say, "Hey, I'm not going there," and won't really get any repercussions against them.
Right.
But the show overall, I mean, it was just everything about it just was weak booking from beginning to end, in my opinion. I mean, you had, you know, Kurt Angle losing in the first round of the tournament. You had Shane McMahon end up winning the entire tournament and beating Dolph Ziggler on top of that to win it, which was kind of why moment. Like, why would that even happen?
All right. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I just can't wait to dig into this one. But,
yeah, I mean,
no,
and then you also have the main event with our main event with DX versus Brothers of Destruction, where it looked like Pill Call at the old folks' home.
And that part is a shame, because Mark, Hunter, all those guys are very proud. They're at the end of the day, sometimes we demonize these guys for being successful, but I know Mark very well, and I know Paul very well. These guys are people that respect and love our business. I mean, the same business you and I love, Jay. You know what I'm saying? Like, they truly do love the business that, you know, I just think in their point of view, it's been tainted. And they have a certain belief that may not be what we believe. You know what I'm saying? I know it's hard to kind of stomach it. It's like the rich get richer. I get it. Trust. I'm the soury, bitter old man. You know, get off my fucking lawn, bitch. I'm that guy. I am. I get it. I'm that guy. But I know that from their heart of hearts, they're looking at it as, look, you know, we're trying to put together something special for the fans. And I know they think that. Now, regardless of how it plays out, like you said, through what happened at Crown Jewel, Hunter ripping his pec out, you know, his pectoral, whatever, you know, and all the stuff leading up to it, it's inevitable. But, dude, the bottom line has to come where we as a fan base, we as an organ, you know, as just pure fans of the business have to say, look, this is bullshit. This is all bullshit. You know, as much as Hunter can say, oh, you know, I'm trying, you know, dude, yeah, I could fucking rub my fucking cock the left way and I'll blow out something. Okay, yeah, we're all fucking old. We're all fucking hurting. I get it, dude. But it gets to the point where his validation is no longer accepted. You know, I get his point of, yeah, we love the business. This is, at the end of the day, it's like, this is almost like a eulogy to the 90s, you know, DX generation or the WWE, whatever, you know, that generation. But it's just time is to move on right now. And unfortunately, Paul and the powers that be have not established enough guys in the mainstream to really take that over. I mean, even with Mark, I mean, it's not just money why Undertaker is still putting in. How many times are you going to do retirement matches? And I'm guilty of it in a very small scale, but it's like, dude, okay, how many times are you going to fucking say, I'm done? He's been done, dude. Again, I have fucking stories, and this is maybe for our Patreon fucking users, but my wife used to date Mark before I fucking met my wife. And in 1996, she was telling me that Mark was done with the business and he was retiring in 96. So
we're definitely gonna have to take a deep dive on that one on Patreon.
Yeah, that's on the pay, exactly. But
you're paying for those stories, folks.
Well, no, I'm just, but exactly, okay. But I'm just saying, like, there's so much more, and it's confusing. It is very personal. You don't think that it hurts? Like, it even hurts me. I cringe at even saying those words. Because it's, you know, she dated Mark before I ever, you know, knew her. She was a kid. I was a kid. You know, it's, you know, no judgment, but you don't think that fucks with my head? You know what I'm saying?
That is, yeah.
It's what it is. And again, that's why we offer the pay-as-you-go gimmick, and, you know, why we're trying to do what we do. But it's all, but that's the reality of what we do in this business. You know, to me, Undertaker is not the Undertaker that you guys all watch. He's Mark. He's a good dude. He's a fucking ginger from fucking from fucking Southwest Texas, who's a good dude. But you know what I mean? It's not like, you know, he's not some fucking icon that y'all look up to. He's a normal guy. And, you know, we've all been up and down the road together. So it's you know, it's a good journey. And I hope the guy, you know, the people that want to buy into our service, we'll get a chance to check it out. But anyways, I digress, and I'm getting carried away because yeah, it's been crazy.
So let's talk about Shane McMahon winning the World Cup. First of all, what kind of World Cup was it when America was the only country represented? But to top it off, Shane McMahon comes out and wins it. What's the per? Is it an ego stroke, a McMahon ego stroke?
I honestly, for Shane, Shane is, of all of the McMahons, at least in my experience, I'll fucking say it out front. In my personal experience, Shane is the coolest of the McMahons as far as like dealing with somebody, you know, face to face or whatever. He's really cool, and cool meaning like a nice guy, a very fair and honest person. Like, he gets the business. So he's not like one of the, you know, as far as like when you say McMahon or Paul Heyman, you always think of duplicitous wrestling, shady shit. And Shane was never like that. Shane was always like the antithesis of that. He was like always super cool. Like, hey, you know, I love wrestling, and he respected wrestling. So for me, look, he's super cool. He's super talented in the way, because he's booked that way through Daddy's company. And no matter how cool Shane is, it'll always be because of Daddy's company. And he can't knock that. He's been trying to knock that for years, you know, because he always wanted to make a name for himself, not through I'm Vince McMahon's kid, I'm Shane. You know, it's just what it is. So
now
through that, I just think that Shane has a ton of stuff that he could offer the business, but not necessarily given the opportunity, unfortunately.
Now, did Shane travel more with the boys, or did he travel with family more?
I'm sorry?
Did Shane travel a lot with the boys? Because I know there's stories of him traveling with, like, Bubba Ray and Spike and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Was Shane, did he travel with the boys mostly?
He did. Absolutely. And that's what ingratiated a lot of us. Yeah, he did. No, he was in there with the Dudleys, with Spike and Bubba, and even myself, dude. I mean, there were times where I went to Shane for help. Like, I was lost in the mix of the WWE machine, you know, and I went to Shane like, bro, like, cause he felt like, well, Jay, our relationship, like, you know, we're friends and we're close. I felt like I could go to Shane, like I can go to you, like, Jay, bro, what's, you know, but you're talking to a McMahon at the same time. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, I definitely
it's
understand
like,
what you're saying.
But again, it's not like he didn't cause it, but, you know, it's like, you know, I'm trying to get somewhere and there's no other solution, but, you know, your Shane McMahon helped me out. Although he really didn't have, unfortunately, like, a, and I think that's a lot of, in a lot of ways, and wow, I'm probably going in way over my head, but in a lot of ways. In a lot of ways, I think Shane, I think he overstayed, like, who he was. I don't know. I just basically, like, all the stuff that Shane is and Shane was for the business and Vince's eyes was pretty much dropped when he did all that, you know, hardcore shit and all that stuff. It didn't equal out. At the end of the day, we all wanted Shane to be our savior. Like, you know, take, you know, do whatever Dad didn't want, you know, like be our Vince, you know, and it just wasn't possible. He's at the end of the day, he's a family man. He has a beautiful wife and kids that I'm very familiar with. They're good. I mean, wonderful fucking people. But at the end of the day, I think Shane got wrapped up in trying to be Vince. And it's not because he couldn't be Vince. Not saying that from a money standpoint. I'm just saying from what it is. You just, you know what I mean? It's, I don't know. I know what I'm trying to say. I'm just not doing a very good job of saying it. But it's very hard for anybody to follow in Vince McMahon's shoes. And Stephanie did it way better than Shane did, because Shane never gave two fucks about the wrestling business. He was more worried about personal relationships. I guess if I'm going to add something to this podcast, I could at least say that. No, seriously, I could at least say that. Like, Shane didn't give two fucks about the how it looked. He cared about the gimmick. And where Stephanie is all about, Stephanie is Vince. Stephanie is Vince, and Shane was always ECW, if that makes sense. Like, he was always that rebel. Maybe it's like, you know, I'm a kid that never got his due, whatever, but Shane was always that guy, you know, and he was super cool. Dude, I don't think very few people, if you actually research it, I don't think there's a lot of people that could say anything bad about Shane. Pretty fucking solid dude, you know? But again, it comes down to, you know, who sold out to where. And it is a big deal to say, oh, I sold out. Stephanie sold out. Stephanie is Vince. Shane is Shane. And Shane is the... So take now, it as you will. But that's
now,
as quickly as I can do it.
Now, Shane, for some reason, I just picture Shane being someone that indulges maybe in the greener things in life. That was always just my assumption. He always just looked like the type that, you know, he may or may not have celebrated 420.
Yeah. Brother, you know what? I agree with you. But at the same extent, being a fucking sometimes very poorly recovering addict, but I am trying and recovering, you know. The one thing that makes sense is pot, because I know when I, you know, do THC, whether I smoke it or ingest it, like edibles or whatever, I know that I'm good. I don't drink. I don't do drugs, like other drugs. Like, I'm straight. And I think a lot of people fight with that because of the stigma that goes along with it. But dude, I mean, wow. I don't want to go out there, but I will go out there and saying everybody in the WWE hierarchy is pro weed, because been there, done that, and you know, it's so much better than the alternative. What's the alternative? Alcohol, pain pills, muscle relaxers, somas, Xanax, all that shit. And that was the big deal back in the day. It's like, okay, I can't, you know, do weed because it'll show up positive on a piss test. But if I have a prescription for Xanax or other, you know, very hardcore drugs, it's cool. So I think that stigma has gone. So I'm just hoping with more research and more, you know, proactive stuff that we could all come to physical and scientific approach to it that, you know, in our business, unfortunately, you know, weed is better than the lesser of, you know, taking a shit ton of Vicodin or a shit ton of Percocets or Oxycontin or, you know, heroin or whatever. You know, I know it impacts me greatly, but it's what it is, you know, and I just hope that we can get through that. And it's not easy. It's not going to be an easy thing. Even me saying it right now to you is uncomfortable, even though you and I are best friends, dude. I'll tell you everything. It's still uncomfortable to me for me to say it publicly because it's almost like a dirty little secret where it shouldn't be. You know, I'm a recovering addict with alcohol and with drugs, and most of the drugs are with that variety of Oxycontin painkillers that have straight to do with professional wrestling, with pain. But I think if, you know, when the marijuana laws, and even with these, and again, we're talking about current topics, just these midterm elections that happened yesterday, and I did, and yes, Jay Miller, I did vote. But all kidding aside, it's like, you know, what suits us best, you know, and I think we have to, you know, I say it with mental health stuff and with our stuff, and we've talked in depth. It's like, dude, you know, we're hurting in many ways. Let's stop fluffing the problem and let's, like, you know, try to at least address the issues. And it's very scary that very many, you know, very few people do ever address. So anyway,
and
I digress.
You talked about the elections a little bit. I live in Ohio. Last night, Michigan voted as a state to legalize recreational marijuana use. Ohio fucking voted against making it so people didn't have to do prison time over marijuana. So that shows where my fucking state is.
Right. I mean that's crazy though. I mean, if you really think about it, at least for me, I'm an alcoholic, recovering alcoholic, recovering drug addict, and I'm grateful that I've had these experiences. But marijuana, in no way, shape, or form, has ever done anything but help, like, the cause. Like, and I know a lot of people, like, it's like if you talk to right wing, you know, Republicans or even liberals or whatever, I'm not one of those people that, you know, fights for the cause. I'm just saying I'm a user and I'm trying to recover. And I know that pot helps. And I'll give you guys, you know what, this is probably way more information than any podcast will ever give you, but I'll fucking be straight. For the past 4 days, I smoked a little bit of pot, like literally like 3-4 hits out of a bowl. Okay. For 4 days, not a lot. I mean, I'm not talking weight. I'm talking literally 3 or 4 hits a day kept me sober. And then I didn't have pot yesterday and I fell off. And I'm saying this, I know yes, this is a podcast. I know people are listening. I get it. When I didn't have the pot to kind of even me out mentally, emotionally, whatever it may be, I fell off and I drank. Not proud of it. Not proud of it at all. I'm embarrassed and ashamed, but at least I'm here telling you how I feel. So it's like you're demonized for doing something like pot that'll keep me okay, but it's not acceptable necessarily to the masses. But, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't know if this even resonates with anybody, but to me, alcohol is the devil. And it makes me do stupid things, and it's just not a good look for me. It's not a good thing for me. I'm an alcoholic, and it's bad. But, like, pot at least makes me chill. It's like, it gives you what you... as far as medically, emotionally, spiritually, it's like a Xanax without a Xanax. It's like it chills you out, you know. And I think that's what, I don't know. It's not a good description, but I know in my heart it's where I need to be. And a lot of doctors say it too, like PTSD, all the shit I've gone through in my life, you know. It's better than putting chemicals in your body, dude, you know, and whatever.
So no. let's kind of take a deep
I know
dive.
I gave you a shitload to fucking digest and try to reverb that back.
and you know, you relapsed in last night. I had no idea about until just now when you said it on the air. You know, that's something.
Yeah, because I love you, and I want to be honest. That's one thing I want this podcast to be about, is honesty. I don't want to fucking be a worker working a gimmick. I want us to be real, you know. So I just at least hope that the fans and you know, but I want the fans to know that it's not a work. You know, we're working this out together as a family. You know.
So let's kind of take a deep dive into this. You know, you did go to rehab a little over a month ago that WWE paid for. How have you felt since coming home from that? Well, let's go a little farther back, because, you know, it's no secret. You went to jail twice within a month period. I actually went up to Connecticut, met up with the producers of your movie, and we were able to get you out on the condition that you went to WWE rehab, which you did. But how have you felt since then? I mean, have you had a little more clarity in life, or is every day still a struggle for you?
Oh, it's quite frankly, it's a huge struggle. And again, I'm not trying to diss anybody involved in this picture or whatever. It's all so many shades of gray. I'm hurting day to day. And again, it's nothing. The wrestling community, or you know, myself or Jay Miller, which you and I are business partners. You know what I do. You know what I mean. We're involved. What we do, it's more than that, and I can't explain it, but no, I mean, nothing has changed. It's not even volatile with the production of anything. It's just, I think in today's society, it's like you signed on to do a fucking documentary. It's not about you getting you being okay. It's about, well, could you meet this deadline, bitch? You get it? Like, I know it's kind of hard, but you know what I'm saying? It doesn't become about, oh, you know, we feel bad for PJ. You know, I get it, dude. I don't want anybody to feel bad for me. You know, I've been blessed many times over, but at the end of the day, it's like people are looking at, you know, the production companies are like, yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, when's he going to be able to put this out? Like, get your shit on, you know, like get your shit together, bitch. You know, it's straight up. I mean, that's the best way I could explain it to young men and women. It's like, get your shit together, bitch. Let's go. You know, this is your fucking documentary. Really? Let's go, motherfucker. Like, what do you got? That's how they look at it. It's a business. Unfortunately, it's very cruel because I'm so open and on it. And it's not even that. Like, I feel like I'm bleeding out. Like, my heart is an open wound right now. It's been for a long time, and it makes me vulnerable because I'm so open that I'm just looking for somebody to say, hey, Pete, it's okay, brother. Like, I get your pain. It's cool. And I know it sounds like, oh, you're such a fucking little puss, but it's where my heart is. It's like it's not just me. It's other people. I just have the privilege to express it today, but it's like, bro, I'm just hurting so much. And all I want from this, if this whole thing ever gets made the way it's supposed to, and actually we're closing shooting November 12th and 13th is the day we wrap. By the way, I just got the news from Dave Gear. I'm actually giving you the 411, motherfucker. But anyways, I digress. But anyways, yeah, Gear told me that we're wrapping up 12 and 13 of November. But at the end of the day, it's like, I just want to somehow, some way, tell my retarded, crazy, I'm a mark wrestler, and I got the privilege of being in this spot. I'm just a fucking psychological mess. And if we could dive into any of that, I think it would be amazing. Not just for me. There's, because unfortunately, and one thing Dave Gear said that I agree with is, this is, you know, the wrestler, you know, the movie The Wrestler, but in reality, tenfold, you know. You know, and that's, it's not just, it doesn't go just towards me, but that Mickey Rourke character in the movie The Wrestler really has a lot to do with a lot of people in the business. And unfortunately, it's very much my life, and it's very much a lot of other people's lives. So anyway, I would love to see it to fruition so we could, you know, almost stop that negativity of where, yeah, you get a spot in the business and you do it and then you go away and you're dead. It's almost like I would love to say, hey, we all have a voice to be heard, and if we could play it out and just do better for other people coming on. I know what I'm trying to say, but it's, I don't know. I want more than that bleak ass story of dying at the end of a picture. You know, I don't want that. You know,
I mean, you know, in full honesty, you know, if the way you were going, you were on a self-destructive path.
Quite
some time.
Oh, fuck yeah. Fuck yeah.
You know, and if things didn't change, you know, it's hard telling what would have happened. I mean,
but we're still there. We're still there, though, Jay.
We're still there,
brother. And I'm not cutting you off. I'm just saying, I'm still there. I'm not out of the woods.
I know.
I'm not out of the woods by any means. And I know you and I have a business that we're trying to put together. And again, in full disclosure, in the air in front of everybody, I just want to say that I get it. And I want us to go forward. But it is so hard, because it's hard enough to recover from this bullshit. And again, I'm not asking for the slow clap or the smile to plug, you know, from the fans, but it's like, it's a fucking, you know, addiction is a bitch. And it's, if you're really going to come from it, it's hard. And I couldn't do it without you. I couldn't do it without the people. And it's so difficult, because at any time, dude, and again, I'm not trying to be volatile or corny or, you know, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I think I'm going to. I want to. I have children and a family that love me. So, again, from the PR standpoint, of course, I'm going to make it. But in reality, am I? That's a hell of a fucking ride, dude. I'm willing to take it because I want the best for us, for all of us. Just you, me, what we do on this podcast, what we do fucking going forward into WrestleMania and everything. I want it. But it's, man, it's like, I just want people to know this shit ain't fake. What we talk about day in, day out is real. You've been through, you've seen my ugly, you've seen my truth. You know, you're probably the one human being that knows more about me than anybody else. That's scary. That's a scary motherfucking place. But I mean that in a way that we can overcome and put together, through this experience, we could put together some cool ass shit to rise above.
Oh yeah.
You know, not in a corny way, but you know what I'm saying? Like, to, like, let's do this. Like, without you, I would not be motivated. You, Jay, you've pumped me up. You've made me feel significant and important in this culture of the way professional wrestling is, and, you know, how we take it in and how we deal with it. You're, you make me feel fucking special and awesome, and I'm so grateful for you to do what you do. I couldn't do anything without you right now. So I'm grateful. Again, I want to get that off the bat and say, you're the fucking man, dude. You know? And I just want to keep producing so we can have something to brag about, and, you know, let's say a year from now, you know?
Right.
2 years from now, hopefully. You know, I certainly want that, and I think we can. I think we have that content and that special thing. So, anyways, I buried us, okay. But I'm getting it back. Yeah. I'm getting it back. I'm getting it. See what I'm doing? See what I'm doing? Putting you over, kid.
Right. I mean, we have some great things coming up. I mean, like I said, we have New York, WrestleMania week, and we're going to be doing a live show there. I'm working on getting a live show together for Cleveland and Indiana.
I know. Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, and you know, back to, you know, what we was talking about, busy hands. I mean, just keeping yourself busy, biggest. And I think in your situation will be the biggest help for you.
Yes.
You know, constantly having you doing something, because I've noticed with you, you know, from the time we've gotten to notice each other, it's when you're just kind of sitting with nothing to do that you slip the farthest away.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, and so my goal is to keep you busy. Obviously, most importantly, is to keep you sober.
Yes.
You know, but we're going to work on all that, and we're going to work on, you know, getting great content to the fans, great live shows, clean and sober 2019 for Justin.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, I don't drink anyway.
I know. And that's awesome. But no, I'm glad you said that, because look, I honestly look up to you. I really do look up to you, because the minute you came into my life, you've been nothing but a beacon of positivity and great stuff. I can't express it enough. And again, I know it's to some people that don't understand sometimes, and I'm not like dismissing how I don't expect people to understand addiction or alcoholism, et cetera. I don't expect that. I get it. But for me, like, I'm just, you know, it's a way for me to, sometimes the noise gets so big in my head, like, you know, again, I don't say the voices, because there's really no voices, but I say the voices because, like, your own thoughts are the voices in your head, you know, and like, sometimes I just can't shut that shit down, where, like, I wish I would have, I wish I could have, like, things I could have changed personally, and that's a very big demon for me. Whether it's success in this business or otherwise, and it bothers me. And that's always a way for me to escape. It's not that I want to be drunk or I want to get high. It's just like, could you shut the fucking noise down for half an hour? And what's the cheapest way to shut the noise down? Have a drink or two. And of course, that's not the answer, again, but that's where, unfortunately, I always went to. Like, it's like, okay, just shut. And I would try to, okay. And it didn't work, obviously. So I just have to find better coping mechanisms, and I have to work my program, work my steps, and, you know, do the deal. And I'm blessed to have people like you, dude, that are patient and willing and loving and great. You know, you've been, again, I wouldn't be here without you, Jay. So, forever, I'm eternally grateful. So you have this little old bald puppy dog fucking Portuguese guy. Good luck. enjoy fucking Cleveland.
I mean, I live in Cleveland.
Basketball
now,
reference.
So. Actually, live in Cleveland reference. Now, so we're good.
Okay.
I mean, and honestly, you know, I've seen you in the good times, and I've seen you in the bad times the last few months.
I know. Yes, you have.
I've gotten all 32 personalities of PJ Polacco at one point
bad.
Or another. Says the guy that does it. Well, you may talk to yourself, but
it's the voices.
Yeah. And, you know, and it, 'cause one of the first conversations we ever had before We even got everything, you know, set up with the podcast, you know, and I told you, you know, in the beginning, you know, your story before I even knew you, your story stuck out to me. You know, and I told you my father passed away from addiction, you know, and all that mushy, gushy stuff. You know, and then there's been times where I felt like, you know, why am I even still doing this podcast? You know, is he really, you know, is he really being open and honest with me? You know, and do I really want to keep going through this? But, you know, we've developed that friendship, that bond, you know, and I love talking to you, you know, and we got great things to do. You know, I'm going to ride this out. You know, there's going to be, most likely there's going to be other slip ups in the future. You know, that's just,
I hope
it's
not.
It's one day at a time.
I hope not, brother. Because I that's one thing I've learned with you is you're very much like everybody in my, like, you're a ride or die motherfucker. And I hope you know what that means. Like, you're in. You know, and I love that about you. I respect that so much. Like, I'm in with you. Like, I'm almost bought into you more as much as you bought into me. Like, I don't know. I guess I'm marking out for you. Like, you're just,
well, I mean,
you're so passionate.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, it's so positive. Like, no, I'm in. Like, I get it. And it almost breaks my heart, but I guess greatness doesn't come fucking overnight, and it won't come with mediocrity. So we're either going to blow this motherfucker open or we're gonna fall miserably on our face.
Well, let's focus on blowing it up.
Let's go blow this bitch up, man. No, again, all due, you know, I love you. I really, and I find such a, you're amazing. I'm a mark for you, Miller. Fuck off. Don't make me choke up.
For everyone that tuned in, you just heard mine and PJ's wedding vows. Send your toasts to us.
Forever and ever. Forever and ever.
I'm not taking the
I
fucking Polacco name.
Bless your heart.
So let's move on to a little more positivity. We just spent like the last hour just talking about, you know, real life shit. And, you know, that's the great thing about this podcast. You never know kind of what's going to happen on the podcast. We don't even know what's going to happen on the podcast. So, you know, it's something new every week. I mean, we've had weeks that were really good. We had weeks where we had to end the show early because... You know,
different stuff. No, I look
because PJ falls out of his chair.
Well, dude, you know, the positive thing is there's always honest. This is a very honest, honest and real look at what it is that we're doing. It's not a work. It's not a gimmick. It's real. And this is two guys in the business. You've been in the business for a long time. I've been in the business for a long time. It's two guys who legitimately love professional wrestling and love what we do. Just really, you know, just giving an honest opinion and our look at what it is, you know. And, you know, it's sometimes it is the shit show that comes with being a Polacco /Credible/Miller. It is what it is. It is what it is. And, you know, we just embrace it and like, we roll with it. But, you know, never pulling any punches. And if anything, Jay, we just honestly come at it from a very whole, organic place of, look, we're professional wrestling fans. We're professional wrestling. I mean, we are professional wrestlers, but we really are fans of the business, and you know, we're just sitting here spitballing and getting ourselves usually in trouble talking shit. Which is wonderful.
Right. Now, there's something that I wasn't going to...
I heard that.
yeah, there's...
I know, I heard that. I got that.
something that I did not want to talk about tonight on the episode, on the podcast. But obviously, you know, anytime there's a mess up situation, it's all over the internet. And I feel like the best way to deal with it is head on.
Sure.
Earlier tonight, there was a video on Twitter, a live video from you on Twitter. I don't want to go into details, but obviously,
no, go
as
ahead.
You know,
go ahead.
You know, as you know, things are, you know, as soon as you do something, all eyes are on you.
Of course.
You know, and it's being talked about. Someone actually just commented on Facebook asking what the video was about. And I'm just going to say, just from knowing PJ, and then I'll let him take the floor. Anyone that's married has issues within their marriage. You know, it's not always happy times. What was released tonight on Twitter, I told PJ, it wasn't a good look. I can't apologize for him. If he feels the need that he should apologize, he will. If he feels like he doesn't need to or
cool.
he shouldn't, then he won't.
Who are we talking about?
The live video from earlier that you posted on Twitter.
I got to look that up. Here's the bottom line.
It's been deleted. It's been deleted, but
yeah.
Someone, you know.
Well, I have no shame. Brother, I have no shame. And I'm completely open and honest. Here's the deal. If anybody's not living in a make-believe world of money, hoes, fucking, like, my, you know, like this fucking fantasy that we all live in, like, you know, keeping up with the fucking Joneses and, like, everything is, you know, dude, I'm a fucking mid-level, you know, guy in the world, period. And unfortunately, it fucks me more than it doesn't that I have some kind of notoriety. So when I stumble, the world knows. And that's the only kind of gimmick I have. And dude, I've been married for 24 years. How many people could say they've been married for 24 years these days? I have a beautiful wife who still supports me to this day. So shit gets out. Shit happens. Motherfuckers should back the fuck up. Get a life, dude. Get a life.
Well,
figure it out. I get it, but it's like, you know,
oh, yeah.
It's like there's no issue here. You know, it's like I understand the need for, you know, whatever, but I get it. It's like a double-edged sword. You know, I need the media. We need the media for our gain, and sometimes it turns on us.
Well,
and my
life
ain't perfect, dude. I'm a fucking hot mess right now. You know.
Well, the biggest thing coming out off of what happened wasn't so much. It was more of the language he used.
Me?
Yeah, you. I mean, yeah. I mean,
no, I don't. Dude, I don't even know. Dude, that's the thing. There's so much. That's. Well, this is where I am completely lost, and I digress and completely am vulnerable. Like, I'm trying to deal with things. Like, I should be doing my own PR shit. And this is me and you as friends talking. Like, it's like cut the knees off right now because I'm done. You know? And I have nobody to do that for me.
Let's take a quick break. I'm gonna play a song. Let's just take a quick break. We'll be back in just a minute. Let me play a quick song. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back. Yo, you dealing with the X Factor.
I got everything I ever wanted, and I'll never get that back.
Yo.
Oh, I know you hate it, X Factor, but you ain't gotta look at me like that. I said you ain't gotta look at me like that.
I know you're watching.
What you looking at? What you looking at? What you looking at?
It will be televised.
What you looking at?
You run around pulling stunts like that. See, never in my life could I front like that. I ain't caught like that. I couldn't run like that. I'ma keep it non-fiction and take my hat off. Remember back when things looked grim. I spent a lot of money and time on whim. I remember the crew. Remember the good times. Remember the orange and I remember the sunshine. It's all gone. That's the thing of the past. The fact remains that it moves real fast. So while you sit around hoping things won't change, I'll be sitting pretty singing, hey, Rocky Way.
I gotta tell you, baby, life's been good to me. And I know that makes you happy, but that's something you can't see. I got everything I ever wanted, and I'll never give that back. Oh, I know you hate that bag, but you ain't gotta look at me like that.
All right, and we are back. You know, we had to have a little side conference there. I'm going to go ahead and let PJ talk for a minute and say what he feels he needs to say. And then we're going to move on just to a totally different topic. But obviously it's something that needs to be addressed because people are asking about it.
Sure. Well, I made some obvious comments that, you know, were not necessarily appropriate or, you know, sometimes, you know, and I'm bumble fucking around this whole deal. I'm not trying to, but I said some things that I probably that I know for a fact I shouldn't have said, whether it been, you know, just in passing or whatever about, you know, sexuality and race and stuff. And I was very much inappropriate. And I apologize. Jay and I spoke, and I'm literally in tears right now. So, again, sometimes it's not good. So, to whom it may concern, I am 100% sorry for whatever was said. And, you know, and Jay and I will continue to have this discourse and this conversation. We don't shy away from it on this podcast. It's not something I want to sweep under the rug. It's a conversation to have. Nonetheless, I was obviously very wrong, and I apologize, and it's what it is. So thanks, Jay, and I love you. I love you guys. I love all the listeners, and I love all the fans. So it's all good, I hope, in my end. You know, and I'll do better every day, you know?
And I'll say this. As a lot of people know, my husband is black. When we were in Connecticut, PJ's wife were nothing but amazing to both of us. They treated us both with respect. I honestly, there's not a hateful bone in PJ's body, and I know that from knowing him personally. I don't excuse what he said. I don't condone what he said, I should say. But we, in moments of anger, we say stuff, that shouldn't be said. I'm not justifying it in any way. But that's life.
I feel even horrible the way you're just explaining it. Like, there's no excuse. There's no excuse. And I understand the context of what I said. And I don't, to be shit honest, I don't even remember what was said. It's just, unfortunately, the way things are these days where I didn't, sometimes this language is used and it should be. I am better than that. I should understand that better. That's a me problem. It's not anybody else's problem. So I am ultimately responsible for my actions and my words. But again, sometimes 10 years ago, we would say these things that it would be locker room fodder, where today, unfortunately, and maybe fortunately, maybe we're dealing, we're moving towards a better life and a better way of understanding that you can't say these things. So I'm at fault. There's no excuse, and I am ultimately responsible. So, Jay, I thank you, and I'm sorry. No, that's all I can say.
So that, I mean, the best thing we could do is just, you know, kind of move on now. We're going to work on a statement that will be released, obviously, because, the news sites are carrying the story now. We will be issuing a statement.
Are they really? Are we really doing this? They're really doing this?
Yeah.
They're really going this way?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Wow.
We're going to move on from subject now. We'll issue a statement later about the situation. If anyone wants to call in, we are taking calls 714-816-4746. I actually just lost PJ. Let's go ahead and wrap this show up. It's been a day. It's been an eventful day. I'm not in any way justifying what was said today in any context. I know PJ personally, and I know the type of human being he is, and I know there's not a hateful bone in his body. But there's still issues there, and we're working on them, and we're going to continue to work on them. We will be back next week for more of I Hate This Podcast. Everyone have a great rest of your week. Thank you for listening. We'll be much more upbeat and cheerful next week.
You know, I looked up to this guy for so many years.
I ain't gonna lie, dude. I want to vote him green.
My name is PJ Pelago. The world came to know me as Just Incredible, a famed pro wrestler. I became a world champion. I was the first guy to have my Portuguese heritage become a major part of the World Wrestling Federation. Kids looked up to me. They wore my t-shirts and played with my action figures. I was their hero. But I should be no one's hero. Drugs and addiction beat me worse than any opponent. It messed up my life bad. It broke me beyond what any ring could ever do. I will find my recovery and redemption. This is incredible.
What don't you understand, man? This is not a joke. It's my goddamn life.